Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
649, I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Okay, so what's happening with our weather? Tornadoes touching down in southeast Michigan yesterday, causing some major property damage, although no deaths. But it's just one example of some of the less normal weather we've been having, including this consistent summer-like weather in the middle of March. To try to make some sense of it all, I'm joined by Steve Offelbaum. He's among the world's most well-known leading ecologists, and he is the founder of Applied Ecological Services and author of the guidebook, Restoring Ecological Health to Your Land. Steve, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, you're welcome, Michael.
So tell me, is there any reason to think that this is just an especially abnormal year weather-wise, or is there something else happening here?
Well, this is a pattern of very unusual conditions that has been increasing over the past decade to 15 years. This year in particular, the National Oceanic Administration's U.S. Climate Extremes Index, which measures extremes, has found this year to be one of the years with the most extremes for climate and drought and precipitation, tornadoes and things of that nature in the past 102-year history. And we're seeing substantially more extreme events and abrupt changes in precipitation, in temperature. Last week, for example, here in southern Wisconsin, we had snowy owls still in the neighborhood of our farm in southern Wisconsin. That's the large white Arctic bird that erupts and comes down to the into the U.S. every couple of years. And just today, 1 week later, large flocks of eastern bluebirds migrating into the area with insufficient insects that they would eat to support them. So the extremes are not only affecting communities hit by tornadoes, Henryville, Indiana, or, you know, southwestern Michigan or elsewhere, but also the ecological systems that we depend on and cherish.
Well, as you know, in the American political arena, global warming and man's effect on rising temperatures remains up for debate. Although, is that what you're saying? This is global warming, and these are the effects we're going to be seeing in the future?
Yeah, you know, I really don't care what people call it. We have a problem with our language if we... The statistics associated with the changes occurring in our meteorology globally should speak for themselves. If we have droughts that are severe, and for example, this year had the smallest footprint nationwide of snow in the United States in over 117 years or longer. You know, we're seeing extremes. That it doesn't really matter how one explains that necessarily. Certainly, if it leads to a debate that causes divides in our ability to come together around how to approach things.
Well, part of the problem though is this is viewed as a global issue. I mean, even if we address the issue here in America, we've got China, we've got other third world countries now developing very quickly. So what is the effect of us addressing our own ecological issues going to have on this larger problem?
Well, I think we're actually delayed in the conversation. I think most other countries are actively involved in the conversation, involved in policy arenas to address the ecological changes, the changes that these extremes represent for our food security and supplies, the safety and health of our communities. Just the costs that we're starting to experience associated with these extremes, from damages to our power system, power lines, our utility system, our highways and our bridges, flooding and health and safety within our communities, is racking up in the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars or more globally per year. And the conversation had better get on and underway to bring people together around solutions.
Now, your guidebook is titled Restoring Ecological Health to Your Land. But when we talk about our land here in Michigan and across the Midwest, especially agricultural land, we're really looking at industrial agricultural systems reserved to growing soy and corn. I mean, is this now just part of our economy, and can we really easily or in any way change it?
Yeah, there's actually some very, very cost-effective changes that I would call refinements, and many farmers already understand and are attempting this. But it turns out nationally, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, soil levels of organic matter have decreased over the past 70 to 100 years by nearly 70%. Now, there's some very important relationships that we need to be aware of. For every 1% more organic matter we have in the soil, that equates to the water holding capacity on an acre of land being able to hold about 60,000 gallons of water. By increasing soil organic matter, we're taking atmospheric carbon dioxide and putting it back into the soil where it originally came from, grown there, deposited there by plant material primarily, and we're helping the situation. So agricultural strategies that regrow soil organic matter, which is a benefit by reducing fertilizer needs, irrigation needs, reducing the costs and the amount of tillage, and also weed control needed in ag systems, is a real straightforward fix.
But is that something that's happening under the current industrial agricultural system?
It's happening in some sectors. There's some market drivers that are requiring or requesting certain quality foods. And it turns out that higher quality organic matter is often associated, it's one of the variables that's often associated with higher protein and higher quality food. So some producers, like Shepherd's Grain in the eastern Washington area that produce especially high protein grain used for flour products, is very much focused on improving soil carbon, soil organic matter. A number of other farming enterprises are doing the same, but it's never really been the focus of the farm bill. It's never been incentivized. It's never really been part of the training in the agricultural community. So there's that opportunity. And then in our urban environments and our industrial landscapes, corporate campuses, what we're seeing is huge opportunities to take high-maintenance lawns, which are in formal landscapes, and start converting those shallow-rooted non-native plant materials like Kentucky bluegrass to deep-rooted native plant materials like native grasses and wildflowers.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be mowed and maintained on an annual basis to maintain an aesthetic.
I've got one more thing, just about 30 seconds left, minute left. For those who say, you know what, I kind of like this warm weather in March. I'm not looking to make any major changes anytime soon. What is your warning to them?
Well, I think the scary thing for me is the ecological changes. It's not necessarily what we like or don't like, because the repercussions of these abrupt changes on the food systems, the soil systems, the water that we count on for our potable water supplies is what will hit us hard. And then it's not really whether we like the warm weather or not. It's how we support what we need under the conditions that we might be subjected to in the future.
It sounds like it could be a very rude awakening. Steve Offelbaum, he is among the world's most well-known leading ecologists, founder of Applied Ecological Services, author of the guidebook Restoring Ecological Health to Your Land. Steve, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome, Michael. Have a nice weekend.
You too.